Let's come to our God in a prayer for understanding. Let's pray together. So gracious God, we thank you for the revelation of yourself in creation. We see your glory there. And we thank you for the revelation of yourself in your word. And here you come to us in human language and you speak to us and we can read. But we thank you as well for the means of grace in which the words of the scripture are proclaimed, so that we may understand even better. So we pray, Father, that you'll open up our hearts so that we may understand your word, so that we may live according to it, and that we might be comforted and encouraged as we walk in the way of sanctification. So bless our conversation tonight as you come to us through your word, for we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of your spirit. Amen. Belgic Confession is what we turn to first of all. Article 24 in the back of your Psalter hymnal. So we make our way through the Belgic Confession, page 840 in the back of your Psalter hymnal. And then after that, we're going to look to our script reading for tonight, which is from Romans chapter 6, and we'll read verses 11 to 14. But first of all, from the Belgic Confession, Article 24, which deals with sanctification, the sanctification of sinners. You're invited to follow along as I just read this. Page 840. We believe that this true faith, produced in man by the hearing of God's word and by the work of the Holy Spirit, regenerates him and makes him a new man, causing him to live the new life and freeing him from the slavery of sin. Therefore, far from making people cold toward living in a pious and holy way, this justifying faith, quite to the contrary, so works within them that apart from it, they will never do a thing out of love for God, but only out of love for themselves and fear of being condemned. So then, it is impossible for this holy faith to be unfruitful in a human being, seeing that we do not speak of an empty faith, but of what Scripture calls faith working through love, which leads a man to do by himself the works that God has commanded in his word. These works proceeding from the good root of faith are good and acceptable to God, since they are sanctified by his grace. Yet they do not count toward our justification, for by faith in Christ we are justified, even before we do good works. Otherwise, they could not be good, any more than the fruit of a tree could not be good if the tree is not good in the first place. So then, we do good works, but not for merit, but for what would be we merit? Rather, we are indebted to God for the good work we do, and not he to us, since it is he who works in us both to will and to according to his good pleasure. Thus, keeping in mind what is written, when you have done all this that is commanded you, then you shall say, we are unworthy servants, we have done what is our duty to do. Yet we do not wish to deny that God rewards good works, but it is by his grace that he crowns his gifts. Moreover, although we do good works, we do not base our salvation on them, for we cannot do any work that is not defiled by our flesh and also worthy of punishment. And even if we could point to one, memory of a single sin is enough for God to reject that work. So we always be in doubt, tossed back and forth without any certainty, and our poor consciences would be tormented constantly if they did not rest on the merit of the suffering and death of our Savior. So far, Article 24 of the Belgic Confession. Then we turn to the Word of God, from Romans chapter 6. That's page 1754 in your pew Bible. 1754. Romans 6, and I'll just read verses 11 to 14. Now I'll read it, and I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together, saying, thanks be to God. Paul says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's important to realize that the Christian faith has something of its own language and vocabulary. Like most things have something of their own language and vocabulary. I think of computers, for example. If you are one who works on a computer every day, then you will probably be familiar with words like email, hard drive, screensaver, internet, whatever. These are words associated with the computer. If you are a carpenter, then you will be familiar with words like tape measure, skill saw, nail gun, 2x4, 2x6, or whatever. Most things have their own language and vocabulary. Christianity is no different. Sure, our faith also has its own distinctive vocabulary and wording too. It all comes from the Bible or from our study of the Bible, of course. And if we are serious Christians at all, we will want to be familiar with the language and the vocabulary of our biblical Christian faith. Two words that really should be dear to our hearts as Christians are the words justification and sanctification. We talked about justification the last time we looked at the Belgic Confession together. What is justification again? Justification is God's declaration that we are forgiven and completely righteous in Jesus Christ. When we looked at the Belgic Confession last time, I used the analogy of the courtroom. In God's heavenly courtroom, you and I are completely guilty before the living God. Sure, we have sinned grievously. We have not loved God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are completely guilty in God's heavenly courtroom. But what did God the judge do? He gave us a good lawyer. He gave us Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he paid for our sin. He went to the electric chair, so to speak, in our place. And by faith in him, God the judge looks at us somehow through the perfect righteousness of our lawyer, Jesus Christ. Seeing us in Christ, seeing our sins forgiven in Christ, God the judge, he gives his verdict. He says, not guilty. You are righteous in my sight. You are free to go. That's justification. Justification is God's verdict. It is God's declaration in his heavenly courtroom, so to speak, that we are forgiven, that we are completely righteous in and because of Jesus Christ. That's justification. That's what we talked about last time we looked at the Belgic Confession. Congregation, notice then what justification really does to us. Notice really all what it does to us. All justification really does is change our status. It changes our standing before God. Before we entered the courtroom, our status was one of condemnation, right? We have sinned, and so we deserve to be judged. We deserve to go to hell. In sin, that is our standing before God. After justification, our standing is different. We are free. We are free to go. No longer are we considered sinful. No, now we are considered righteous. That's what justification does. That's all what justification does. It changes our status. And so appreciate then, justification does not really change our hearts. Justification does not change our insides. It does not change us as people. No, not at all. And so it's important that we understand this. Appreciate, God does not declare us all innocent, righteous, and perfect because all of a sudden our hearts and lives really are so innocent, righteous, and perfect. Hardly at all. God declares us innocent and righteous and perfect because of Christ. He's the one who's innocent. He's the one who's righteous. He's the one who's perfect. Justification is possible for us only because God looks at us through Christ. And so as it is, in and of itself, justification does not change us as people at all. It does not change our hearts. It does not change our lives. No, it only changes our legal standing before the living God. Now, does that mean that God does not care about our insides then? Does that mean that God does not care about our dirty hearts and our sinful lives? Well, of course. Of course he does. And you see, that's where sanctification comes in. Justification, that's God's declaration concerning our status before God. Sanctification, that's the process by which God begins to work in you, to change you, to influence you by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you begin to become what God has declared you to be. That's right. Did you catch that? Justification is God's declaration, giving you a new legal standing before God. Sanctification is God's actual work in you to change you so that you begin to look like your new status. That's how it works. Now, the sanctification thing, this is not always easy, hardly at all. Sometimes our new status takes a little bit of getting used to. But then again, that goes with most things when a new status is given. So I think of marriage, for example. When a bride and a groom enter the church, technically the bride and the groom are still both single, right? But as soon as the minister pronounces, "I now pronounce you husband and wife," suddenly, they have a new status. They're married. But then living out that status, that's not always easy. That's a bit of a process. I think of my own marriage. When Marianne and I got married, we went out east for our honeymoon. We went to Prince Edward Island, and on the way back, we stopped in Montreal. We went to church in Montreal. We met some nice people there who invited us over to spend the night. So we arrived at their home, and they showed us around, and then they said, "Oh, and here's the room where you get to sleep tonight." And I remember Marianne and I kind of looking at each other thinking, "What, you want us to spend the night together in that one room?" You see, this was the first time we were really in public as a married couple, and the idea that we were actually allowed to sleep together in the same room together, that took a bit of getting used to. But you see what I'm saying? Living out your new status doesn't happen automatically. There's a bit of a process to this. Same thing applies to becoming a minister. You know, for the first 28 years of my life, I had a number of different jobs. I used to work in the auto body shop. I was a student, for which felt like forever. But then suddenly, out of seminary, after ordination, I was a minister. I was given a new status. And people started calling me domine and pastor and minister and reverend. I didn't always feel like those things. That new status, that new identity took a bit of getting used to. So it is with the Christian faith. Justification does not change our insides. It just changes our standing before God. Here you are, you're a sinner. You know your guilt. And yet, because of Christ, God says to you, "Your sins are gone, they're forgiven, you are a new creation, go and sin no more." And so we go, and by the grace of God, we try to get used to our new identity. We try to live it out. Congregation, please understand then that sanctification is very much a process. Actually, there's like two basic parts to it. First of all, there is what we call the new birth. You're regenerated. Or to put it in the words of John chapter 3, you are born again. In the new birth, the Holy Spirit enters your life and makes you basically spiritually aware. He makes you spiritually alive. Notice, the new birth is exactly that. It's a new birth. Regeneration doesn't make you perfect all of a sudden. Regeneration doesn't make you fully 100% mature as a Christian. No, in regeneration, you only begin. All new Christians begin as baby Christians, so to speak. We need to grow. Which leads me to the second part of sanctification. The first part of sanctification is the new birth, and the second part is the continual process of growing up. Appreciate then, it is a process. We begin as infant Christians, spiritually speaking, and so from here on out, we have to grow and we mature in Christ, just like babies have to learn how to eat. And how to talk, and how to walk, and how to run. So do Christians need to learn how to live the new life. Sometimes we'll fall down, but God picks us up again. He says, okay, get up, get going, you can do it. That's how it goes in sanctification. Appreciate, this sanctification process continues our entire life long. There's no point, at least in this lifetime anyways, where one can say, okay, now I have arrived. Now I am 100% mature as a Christian. No, always must we keep on growing, and always do we have to keep on working on it as well, of course. Notice then how sanctification gets applied in our lives. It happens to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous. And through faith in Jesus Christ, the sanctification process begins and it continues. Everything happens by grace, through faith in Christ, by the power of the Spirit. And so we have to keep our eyes on Christ. Absolutely. When we lose sight of Christ, when we no longer embrace Christ and cling to Christ by faith, then we don't grow. Then, if anything, we begin to fall down a lot. That's why prayer is so important. That's why Bible reading and devotions are so important. Sure, that's why we go to church. That's why the administration of the word in worship is so awfully important. You know, sometimes in life we go through these spiritual valleys, right? Things are not always rosy for Christians. We go through fields of temptation. Sometimes it feels like we go through battle zones of temptation. Sometimes it seems like we fall down a lot. Do you ever have that? You know, you say at the beginning of the day that you're going to live as a Christian today. But then by the end of the day, you're able to count all the times you literally fell down. You get angry. You said things you shouldn't have. You said a lot of coarse words. You hurt someone. You hurt your God. And then you wonder, am I really a Christian? That happens, doesn't it? That's why worship and the administration of the word is so important here. Before God's word, believers are reminded of who they are. We are not accepted before God because we are perfect in our hearts. We are accepted because of Christ. In Him, we are perfect. In Him, we are justified. And so the preacher's job is to declare that truth. It's the preacher's job to say, if you look to Christ in faith, if you truly cling to him in faith, then you are justified. You are forgiven. You are a new creation. You are righteous. Sometimes we can hardly believe it. Sometimes you will say to yourself, yeah, but I don't feel righteous. Well, then it's the preacher's job to say, well, you know what? Too bad. In Christ, that's what you are. That's your status. And because that's what you are, that's why it's also the preacher's task to declare the believer's responsibility, and that is to keep on the process of growing and maturing in Christ. Yes, we will fall, but hey, all children fall when they're trying to learn to walk. But as children keep at it, so do we. In time, we do mature when we live by faith in Christ. And so the preacher's job then to constantly bring forward the themes of justification and sanctification. Justification is God's declaration that we are righteous in Christ through faith. Sanctification is the process by which we are called to grow more and more into what we really are. Some theologians talk about justification and sanctification in terms of what we call the indicative and the imperative. Two big words, I know. They are words that come from basic grammar. Grammar also has its own vocabulary, right? The indicative has to do with what you are. The imperative has to do with what you need to do. What you are, what you need to do. Scripture is full of these indicative, imperative things working together. The point is, if you believe in Christ, then you are, there you see the indicative, then you are a new creation. That's your status. And since you are a new creation, therefore, live it out. There's the imperative. That's what we need to do. And so we see this indicative, imperative thing, this justification, sanctification thing, even in our text for today in Romans. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. There's the indicative. That's the justification. That's what you are. Paul talks about who you are. This is your new status in Christ. You are dead to sin. You are alive to Christ. And then what does Paul add? He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, but rather offer yourselves to God. There we find the imperative. There we find what we need to do. It's justification and sanctification nicely operating together. In justification, God declares you your status. In sanctification, God tells you what you need to do. All working through faith. All working because Jesus Christ, he suffered and he died and he rose and he lives for us. Brothers and sisters, no doubt sanctification is a big process. And to make you into what God has declared you to be, sometimes that involves tumultuous changes. Sometimes it takes a lot of stretching, molding, shaping. Sometimes it's a process that hurts. Sometimes it's a process that stings. But always is it for our blessing. Reminded of a parable quoted by C.S. Lewis. He likens the process of sanctification to remodeling a house. This is what he writes. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that these jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. but he's actually building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. That's sanctification. It's a process. Sometimes a bumpy process, but it's a good one. In it, we start to look like Christ, and we become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We begin to look like what God declares us to be by faith. Paul says, count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Amen. Amen.